The Lordship of Jesus Christ. John had asked me, Reverend McCabe, to share this morning, or this afternoon, on Jesus Christ being Lord of all. And I want to take you to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, please, if you'll go there. This is a great starting point. In addition to him being Lord of all, we have a responsibility to respond to this lordship of our Lord. And in Matthew chapter 28, this is sort of the Great Commission. In verse 16, just before the Lord ascends, all the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. Jesus came up and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." In heaven and on earth. And if you just stop and think about that one statement for a minute, how Jesus Christ is Lord of all. In heaven and in earth, there is only one that is below God Almighty. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all that is in heaven and on earth. I don't even know if the Lord knew that that was part of the deal. I think it was part of the mystery. Of course, had the devil known, we know, he wouldn't have allowed it to happen. He is Lord of everything in heaven and on earth. And it is God in Christ in who? Say that. God in Christ in you. Think about this statement. In addition to that, Lord of all. He tells his disciples in verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." Two incredible points. Not only is our Lord the Lord of everything in heaven and on earth, but this great commission for us now to go and make disciples of all the nations. Tall order for us. We've looked at a lot today about what it is that Jesus Christ has done, has accomplished, and continues to do, being the head of the church, as Vince Finnegan wonderfully shared with us today. And our response to this is so, so big. But it was the point of him coming, so that God would have men and women like you and me to be part of an incredible family and in part of a great mission known as the Ministry of Reconciliation. But he is Lord of all. And we're going to look at that a little bit before we get into the responsibility. And so turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Colossians. And we've touched on a lot of these points today, but we're going to continue to look at them because they're very important for us to look at. Colossians chapter 1, please. In verse, I'll get there. Start in verse 13 of Colossians 1. "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This was part of God's plan for us through the Lordship of Jesus Christ to make us part of the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins." He is talking about Jesus Christ now, and this is very important. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rules, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. You must make the real distinction here that this is not talking about the creation of Genesis. Understand this, because this is very important. This is not talking about Genesis. It's talking about the new creation that we have in Christ, of what he accomplished. And there are people out there who will try and tell you that Jesus was with God in the beginning. He was not, maybe in God's foreknowledge. But the context of this here is very important to realize, that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of a new creation. A new creation. The firstborn from the dead. Let's keep reading. 4, verse 16. By him all things were created in the new creation, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rules, or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head, which we learned about today also. He is at the top. He is Lord of all, of everything in heaven and on earth. All rules, all authorities, all dominions. These are all the things that he is now in charge of as our Lord. We take our direction from him as the head. Let's keep reading. Verse 18, he is the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the what? Firstborn from the dead, so that in him, in Jesus Christ himself, will come to have first place in what? Everything. First place in everything. Any instruction to the physical body always begins with the head. Just as the physical body does not do anything without direction from the brain, so the spiritual body is to be in subjection to the commands of the spiritual head. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He is Lord of all. All the instruction that we learned about today that the Lord gave in the book of Revelation comes from the head. It starts with him. He is the one that we take orders from. He is the one that we draw the insight that we need to help others. Like Kristen was saying, wherever God takes us, he will tell us what needs to be done. He will show us the hearts of those who want to know him. It all begins with him as the head. He is on top. Nothing else comes by way through him. And the way that happens, we're going to look at it in a little bit here. But first, I want to go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians, if you will, please. Chapter 15. All, he is the fullness of God in him. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, if you will. In verse 20, it says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are what? Asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all will be what? Made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God and the Father. He will have abolished all rule, all authority, and all power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. First fruits, all rule, all authority, all power, All is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. I really want you to understand this. Look at verse 27. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put into subjection, it is evident that he is expected who puts all things in subjection to him. When all things are in subjection to him, then the Son himself will also be in subjection to the one who subjected all things to him. So why? That God may be all in all. Underneath God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And when all things are put in subjection under him and everything is complete, he's going to hand it over to God so that God may be all in all. At the right hand of the throne of God is only one. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Look in Ephesians, please, chapter 1. Ephesians. Start in verse 19. We looked at this prayer a little earlier. And it says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he wrought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. He is Lord of all. Verse 22, and has put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him to be the head. He's at the top, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. He is the head at the very top, which we looked at again earlier. I have some verses there if you want to look at Jesus' telling of this authority and a power which was going to be given to him. He spoke about this in the Gospels. And you'll have those scripture references there that you could look at a later time. But in light of him being Lord of all, and we are to be into subjection to him as he is the spiritual head, we ought to take our commands from him. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Back a page or so. Obedience is another thing we looked at today, which is the big key in making Jesus Lord in our lives. Not only important to know that he is Lord of all, but it's important to know that he and we have to be make him Lord in our lives. And how do we do that? Very simple. Like we learned about a few minutes ago from Christian, the renewed mind. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at some of this here. In verse 17, it says, he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. For through him, through the Lord, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone. Now, in your notes, you'll look at that. The cornerstone is the main point in which all the dimensions of a building emanate from. Everything in a physical structure has its central point stemming from the cornerstone. It can never align itself with any other point of reference without catastrophic results. It is the center point that everything is from. Jesus Christ is that cornerstone which everything in the church emanates from. Everything comes from him, as we learned before, him being the head. Look in the Gospel of John, if you will. John chapter 13. Verse 31. Therefore, it says, when he went out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. The new commandment. He is the new creation, the firstborn. What is this new commandment that we are to follow? What is the new commandment? The new commandment is love, to love as he loved. We now have the ability to do that because of the great gift that he came to make available called Holy Spirit. We make Christ Lord in our lives as we walk by that Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to guide us. We allow the Lord to be the head of the church in our lives as we allow that Spirit to work within us. It is the only way that we can make Jesus Christ Lord in our life, obey the commands that he obeyed, is to walk by that Spirit. Remember, he is the Lord of all. And because of what he accomplished on the cross and what he has done by the gift of Holy Spirit, we now have the ability to love in a new way and make him Lord in our life. The only way that that is possible is through the Spirit. That's the new law of love, the new commandment that we have today. Isn't that amazing? There's no other way. No other way can we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and make him Lord in our lives without Holy Spirit. Incredible. Look in Colossians, please, chapter 3. This is a choice that we must make. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things where Christ is. He is seated at the right hand of God. The only way this is possible is by that walk of the Spirit. Without Holy Spirit, you cannot make Jesus Christ Lord in your life. He is Lord of all for this reason, so that we can have the relationship and make him the head in our lives. Get that instruction, get that guidance that is necessary, so that when God wants us to be a part of this reconciliation, we have the ability to communicate and hear from him because of the Spirit, because of that Holy Spirit. Set your mind, verse 2, on things above and not on things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the children or the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you lived in them, before we had God in Christ, in our lives. This is the life that we had. This is the life that we only defaulted to. We had no choice. We were born dead. There was no other choice. No other way to do it. But now, verse 8, you also must put on or put aside all anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new. Put on the new, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. It is a choice that you and I have to make. The choice of service, the choice of obedience, the choice of making him Lord in your life, the choice of making him the head where his rightful place is to be. This is a choice we must decide all the time if you want to walk and if you want to live for the Lord and if you want to do what God has called us to do. God has invested everything in his Son. He is Lord of all. There is nothing or anyone higher on the chain to the Lord, to God, than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be a part of that, if you want to see how your life can be a glory to what God has invested in his Son and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we must choose to do this. God will not twist your arm. He will not beg you. He'll ask you. And then we have to choose to be a part of this great plan that God has had from the beginning. The whole point of Jesus Christ reconciling man was to bring him back to God, to the family. He wanted a family in the beginning. He's going to get a family in the end. And guess what? He wants you to be there. He wants me to be there. But we must choose to live for him. He's done it all. We have it all. Let's keep reading. This is a great chapter. Let's keep reading this. Verse 10, put all things anew, self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and what? In all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Here's what we put on. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave, so also should you. Big key is forgiveness. Big key in making Jesus Christ Lord in your life, forgive. Forgive. Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on what? Put on what? Love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Remember the record in Revelation? They lost their first love. They lost that love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called into one body, and be what? Thankful. Forgiveness, thankfulness, humility, kindness, gentleness, patience. All the qualities that we see every day of our lives on the streets. Huh? All these things, they're just in a great abundance no matter where you go. People are just so kind and humble. You get on a train, everybody moves aside for each other. You know, rush hour comes, it's quiet, everybody's driving normally, no one is still waving hello. Mike knows. If it doesn't live in us, ladies and gentlemen, it's just not going to live. If we don't emulate these things and make Jesus Christ Lord in our life, it's invisible. It's literally invisible. The world is dead. It's evil. We are the light. We're the ones that are supposed to hold the door for someone. Smile. You know, say hello, even though they'll think you want something else. Say hello anyway. Be loving. Be kind. The world is starving for this. They're starving to see these qualities. And if they're not alive in us, it's just not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how we make him Lord in our lives. That's how people see the lordship of Jesus Christ and all that he is when it's alive in you and me. We let this word of Christ dwell in us richly. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. It's exactly what we're doing today, isn't it? But what's the point of doing it today? So that when we go out of this building, we share it and we give it to others. This is the point. Otherwise, it's just nice words and we have the nice little thing going on here. And I was at an event yesterday. A lot of you guys know what I do. And you know, there are certain religious persuasions out there that they just love each other's company. They love impressing each other. And they love doing wonderful, big, spectacular things for each other. But they keep it real close, and they close all the doors, and they sing, and they dance, and they're all part of this thing. And you go next to them as not being part of that religious persuasion, and it's like, who are you? Oh, I'm serious. I'm serious. You're a dog. You're nothing. You're low. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because they're just so happy entertaining each other, making each other feel good. Jesus said they have their reward. They got it. You and I, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He is Lord of all. There is no one higher than him, and he abides in us. We know about that from the Gospel of John. We've been reading that and going through that. You know, big difference in what we do and what we're supposed to do and how we ought to live compared to the way the world is doing it. Singing with grace in your hearts, thankfulness. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We pray to God what? Through him. We pray to God through him. When you pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. We pray to a God, a living God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. All authority, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. We pray to God through him who has done it all. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Like Dwayne was sharing, it was just a shadow. They couldn't do it. You know why they couldn't do it? Because they were born dead, and you don't change that with an animal. You don't change death by killing another dead animal. But it was just a shadowy type of what Jesus Christ was going to do. Because it had to come by a man. It had to be a man. And he was the one that did it. Verse 22, slaves in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Not with external services, those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto what? Men. Whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord, knowing. Verse 24. That from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does no wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. there's a choice involved. We live for Him. We put on that new man that we ought to walk in. We put on that new creation, that new self that we have in Christ. And that's how we conduct our lives. Look in the Gospel of John, please, chapter 5. It's with the renewed mind, by choice. If we choose. Gospel of John, chapter 5. Verse 19, Jesus answers and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, shows him all things, and he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes." Remember, he's been given all authority, all rule, all power. He is Lord of all. Verse 22, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. He is Lord of all." So, that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not, read this close, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man is coming unto the Father but by me. I am Lord of all. I am Lord of all. You want to get to God? You got to go to the Son. I don't care what you say, how you cut it. You don't make the rules. You didn't write the book. He who does not love the Son cannot get to God. Amen. I didn't write it. Verse 30, yeah. "I can do nothing in my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true." Jesus Christ is the way. He is Lord of all. We follow the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we make him Lord of all and Lord in our lives, but it's a choice. We have to choose to do this every day that we get up. It's never automatic. You never get to the point where I got this. It's covered. I got it. I heard it. Enough. No. Got to wake up every day and decide, I want to do this. I really want to do this, Charlie. I really want to do this. And Charlie knows too. He really wants to do it too. Just as we all. That's why we're here. Because we're all on this journey together. We all have the same struggles. We all go through the same problems, the same issues, opportunities, whatever you want to say. But we have a connection. We have a connection. It's God in Christ in you. We have Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to allow God to be Lord in our lives by the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.